I do want to start something new this Sunday. We have just concluded a series in which we looked at a number of different family issues called Family Matters. Now I want us to begin the next few weeks talking together about money matters. You say, well, preachers always talk about money. Well, let's be honest. You haven't heard a whole lot about money from this preacher. We don't talk a whole lot about it. But did you know the Bible does talk a whole lot about it? Did you know that the New Testament talks more about money than it does talk about salvation or heaven combined? Jesus, in the Gospels, Jesus talks more about money than any other subject. I wonder why that is. I think it's probably because God knows that money is a huge part of our lives. Because it is a huge part of our lives, He would not ignore it, and neither should we. And so Scripture actually has a whole lot to say about money. And I want us to spend the next few weeks looking at what we can learn from Scripture about money. If you'll join with me this morning, let's start in Luke. Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus makes a very interesting statement that captures our attention. He says in Luke 16 at verse 10, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much." Why is that? He who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful in much. Why? Because he's a faithful person. This is talking about the character of the person. If someone is faithful in little things, then you can trust that he or she is going to be faithful in bigger things. Right? He goes on to say, "And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much." It talks about the character of the person. If they're faithful in little things, you can count on them being faithful in big things because they're faithful people. If they're unrighteous in little things, you can count on them being unrighteous in big things because they're unrighteous people. One of the things that we notice about Scripture's teaching on money is that it so often points out that the way we think about money actually reveals a lot about our character. Remember, Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What he means is you look at what you really value in life, you look at where you spend your money, you look at where you count value, and that's going to tell you where your heart really is. That's going to tell you what's most important. And so here he says, money tells us a lot about our character. You're faithful in a little, you're going to be faithful in a lot. You're unrighteous in a little, you're going to be unrighteous in a lot. He continues then to verse 11, "If therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, who will entrust the true riches to you?" Unrighteous mammon, what in the world is that? May I introduce you to unrighteous mammon? Now, it doesn't mean that it's evil. It just means that it's not the holy things. It's not the spiritual things. It's unrighteous mammon. It's paper. Money. He says then, if you're faithful in a little, you'll be faithful in a lot. If therefore you've not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, which is little, the way you use your money is, in the grand scheme of things, insignificant. If therefore you're not faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, who will entrust the riches, the true riches, to you? You see, I think what he's saying is that God has some real blessings for those who will be faithful to him. God has some real blessings for those who truly trust in him and honor him. And one of the ways that we can see who we really are is by looking at how we deal with the little things, the unrighteous mammon. If we can't handle the stuff that he has entrusted to us now, how can we expect him to give us the big things, the valuable things, the important things, the real spiritual blessings? If we're unfaithful with physical stuff, why do we expect to receive spiritual things, the greater blessings? That's a hard word for us to hear. And because it is so important, because that is such a valuable lesson, I want us to think together about some principles of finance. Let's go to the Word and let's find some principles of finance. I doubt we're going to get through all of these today, but we're going to go as far as we can go, and then we'll pick up some more next time. The first one that I want us to look at is what we might call the principle of work, and that is simply earn an honest living. If you, if you're an outline kind of a person, you have a little outline there in your worship folder that you can follow along and see the principles laid out there for you. The first one is what we might call the principle of work, earn an honest living. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, at verse 12, in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 12, it says, "Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread." Well, it says, "Now such persons we command." What persons? Well, you have to back up a little bit to see what he's talking about. So we back up to verse 11. "For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread." It's a principle of work. God's plan for us is that we earn what we need through work. Something has happened along the way in our culture, I'm afraid. Somewhere along the way, we gained the misunderstanding that work is a bad thing. Beloved, work is a blessing. Work is a good thing. As a matter of fact, it's a major part of God's plan. If you go back and look at the creation of man in Genesis, you'll see that God gave man work before the fall. Work is not a result of a messed up world. It was God's plan when things were perfect. He told Adam, "Here is the Garden of Eden. Now you tend it for me." He gave him work. Matter of fact, as I heard Tony Evans recently point out, he gave man work before he gave him woman. So ladies, what that means for you is when you're looking for a husband, the principle is no finance, no romance. See, work is a good thing. It's the plan. It's what helps us understand our role in the world around us. It also gives us a sense of purpose, of meaning. It also keeps us healthy mentally and physically. Work is a good thing. We've got some folks in our society today who work extra super hard at finding ways to get out of work. They'll work extra super hard at finding any way they can to beat the system or to get something for nothing or to ask for this and ask for that. The biblical principle is if you can work, work. That's the way you earn a living. We had a friend that, when we were at Baylor, we had a friend that really was sold out for Christ, and he honestly was. He still is. He's a great guy. But you know, sometimes college kids in their passion may not use the best common sense. And our friend decided that he needed to take only a pair of jeans and go to the streets of Dallas and minister to whomever he could on the streets of Dallas, and he was only going to take one pair of jeans with him and leave everything else behind. And, you know, when he told us that, we thought, I'm glad God ain't called me to that. You know, if he's called you to that, go. But there was something that just wasn't, that just didn't settle. It just didn't quite make sense. And the more we talked with him, he eventually found other ways of doing ministry. But the more we talked to him, the more I got to thinking, yes, God will provide. That was his main thing. All I got to have is a pair of jeans and God will provide. And I thought, yes, he will. He will provide you with a strong back and a strong mind so you can work. He'll provide you an opportunity to earn what you need to carry out the ministry he's called you to. It's just a different way of seeing how God provides. Do we sit back and do nothing and say God will provide? Or do we see God has already provided me opportunities, and then I make the most of those opportunities? Earn an honest living. The principle of work is a biblical principle. We have too many folks that kind of sit around waiting for their ship to come in. Don't wait for your ship to come in. Get out there and swim after your ship. Go for it. Make it happen. Right here in this same text in 2 Thessalonians 3, we back up one more verse, this time to verse 10. And it says, even when we were with you, we used to give you this order, if anyone will not work, neither let him eat. Now notice it says will not work, not cannot. That's a whole different thing. You cannot work, that's something different. Will not work? The principle is if you will not work, you shall not eat. And the Bible says that one of the primary principles of finance is to earn an honest living. A second principle of finance is plan your spending. Plan your spending. In other words, set some financial goals and then stick to them. We might call this the principle of budgeting. It's the principle of budgeting. Want to look at a few proverbs. If you start with me in Proverbs chapter 27, we want to go to verse 23. This is where we really miss the projection, because I had all these verses laid out for you. Since we don't have that, you're going to have to work. Turn the pages. Find Proverbs chapter 27 at 23. Know well the condition of your flocks and pay attention to your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. He says, figure out what you've got. Know what's there. He says, know well the condition of your flocks and pay attention to your herds. I was talking to a friend one time and he said, John, how much do you make a month? And I said, I don't know. He said, you have to know. That was the first time I realized that it's important to pay attention to those things. there's a budget. There's an annual budget. It shows my salary. Y'all talk about it once a year, and then I just do my thing. My friend pointed out, you have to know, because if you don't know the condition of your flocks, if you don't pay attention to your herds, how do you then go about planning and budgeting and organizing, managing well what God has entrusted to you? Solomon would say today, instead of flocks and herds, he would say, know the state of your stocks. Know where your money is. The starting point is the most difficult part of this whole principle. The starting point is keeping good records. Just put it on paper. This is what I have. Based on what I have, this is what I can spend on food. This is what I can spend on clothes. This is what I can spend on the rent and the electricity. Map it all out. And you know what most families find out when they do that? Most American families find out the first time they do this, they find out that within a short period of time, within a month, that they're spending more than they have. They're spending more than they're taking in. You keep spending more than you're taking in, eventually you're going to run into a problem. But you don't know that until you go to the trouble to put it down on paper, to figure out where you are exactly financially. It takes time to figure out the condition of your flocks and to pay attention to your herds. That money talks. You've heard that, money talks? That money talks, I'll not deny. I heard it once. It said goodbye. It's amazing how quickly it goes. It doesn't really talk, does it? Money doesn't talk. Really, it just quietly slips away and doesn't leave a forwarding address. So we have to watch it. Be aware of it. Be careful with that which we've been entrusted. And remember the original idea where we started? Jesus says, if you can't be trusted with the little things in the world, why do you expect to be trusted with the more important things? We're in Proverbs 27. If we back up a little bit to Proverbs 23, Proverbs 23 at 23, buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. The principle there is clear that the weightier things are more valuable. He says, buy truth and don't sell it. Use your money to find wisdom, to find truth in life. And then once you find it, don't sell that off too cheap. To know truth. See, he says, understand what you've got. Know your herds, know your flocks. Use your money to find the truth, to know the wisdom of how to deal with it. There are four things that we should know at all times. What I own, what I owe, what I earn, and where that's going. If you can put that on paper in some way, then you're fulfilling the biblical principle of budgeting, to plan your spending. We're in Proverbs 23. We turn just back another page or two to Proverbs 21. At Proverbs 21 and verse 5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. The plans of the diligent lead to advantage. That's how we make a profit. We plan diligently, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. How many get rich quick schemes have you heard of or seen on Facebook? I've got the coolest stuff. I'm going to sell it to you. You buy it from me. I'm going to get rich. I won't have to worry about anything. I can sell stuff. I got money. I'm going to do it fast. And he says all of those quick schemes wind up falling apart. But as he says, in that the planning of the diligent is surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. It's amazing sometimes how clever people will be in finding a way to get something for nothing. We see it all the time. We see it every week. People will be very clever in finding a way to get something for nothing. And he says the best way is to plan diligently so you have what you need when you need it. Financial freedom is not determined by how much you make, but how you spend what you have. If you don't have a plan, your yearning will always exceed your earning. No matter how much you make, your expenses rise with income. Have you noticed that? No matter how much you make, what you spend rises with your income. It just kind of happens naturally. It's the same principle as storage. You know, if you start with a small closet, that closet's going to be full pretty soon. If you add space in the attic, that attic's going to be full pretty soon. If you build a shed out back, that shed out back's going to be full pretty soon. If you borrow a shed from your friend, that shed's going to be full pretty soon. As much space as you provide yourself, you can fill. The same thing is true with our finances. We always think, if I could just make a little bit more, then I'd have it. I'd be good to go. And the truth is, as we make more, we naturally spend more as well. We don't notice it happening. But we keep thinking, golly, I used to make nothing. How did I survive? Now I'm making all this, and I still can't get my head above water. It's because we're not paying attention to our spending. We're not applying the biblical principle of budgeting. No matter how much you make, your expenses rise with your income. In this same verse that we just looked at last, in chapter 21 at 5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. Now, we looked at that about making money in a hasty way, get rich quick, but also look at it in spending. How many of you go to the grocery store, you get the stuff on your list, but then on your way to the cash register, you see that Milky Way, or you see that magazine, or you see those breath mints, or whatever it is. It's not on your list. You didn't plan it, but you see it, and it's so easy just to reach out and grab that one last little something. You know, we call that impulse buying. We made a hasty decision. Everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. Advertisers know the one word that causes more impulse buying than any else. You know what that one word is that causes us to buy something we weren't really planning on buying? Sale. There you go. Sale. You weren't going to buy those goofy pair of shoes anyway until somebody said they were on sale. Now, if they're on sale, look, I'm saving. You're not saving because you weren't going to spend it in the first place. Besides that, they're goofy looking. They're on sale because they're both right shoes. But if it's on sale, we think we're doing ourselves a favor by buying it. And so they throw that word very easily. You know, the best way to avoid that, the biblical principle of planning your spending, the principle of budgeting. You got your list. You go to the store. You buy what's on the list because you've budgeted for that already. I'm going to offend somebody here in a minute, because this sounds really sexist, and I'll admit that. But have you noticed how ladies and men shop differently? Ladies need a new shirt. They got to go to the mall and look at every store, at every shirt, in every store. And they got to check the texture and the color and the design and the price and the label. Men need a new shirt. We walk in, there's a shirt on the rack, we take it off, we pay for it, we're done. I needed a shirt, I got a shirt, I'm happy. But there might be one down the mall in a different store that has a different color that might fit better. And so you spend all day in all these stores looking at all the sale signs. And then you go back to the first one you saw anyway, because it was probably the best one. We have to be aware of the choices, the decisions we make. We plan our spending. It's a biblical principle. Know your flocks. Know your herds. Plan your spending instead of acting hastily. That's one way that we can show the Lord, I'm being faithful with a little, so you can trust me with the greater things. Next time we have time to look at this together, I want us to look at saving for the future, the principle of investing. Returning 10% back to God, the principle of tithing. And then enjoying what we have, the principle of contentment. We'll look at those three things next time. Father, we want to thank you for our time together today. We thank you for your word. We pray that as we begin this time of 5 or 6 weeks of learning what your Bible teaches about money, we pray that you'd open our minds. Father, that you'd help us to get a better understanding of the ways in which you've blessed us already. Help us to see our role as conservators, stewards of the things that you've entrusted into our care for a short time. We won't have these things forever, that they've been entrusted to us temporarily. And because of that, help us, Lord, to be better stewards of all that you give us for that time. Father, we also pray that you'd help us to be faithful in these little things in order that we might be worthy of greater blessings and more important things. Lord, help us now to consider who we are in you. Help us to consider how faithfully we serve you, not only with our money, but with our time and our talent. And as we consider those things, just how good are we at being stewards of this life? As we consider those things, Lord, help us that we might be willing to hear a word from you right now. And as you speak to us, Father, help us to respond in the appropriate ways. We pray in Jesus' name.